Revlon, world's largest selling lipstick. Revlon, world's largest selling nail enamel. Revlon, whose wonderful new hairspray, Silkinet, holds your hair in place perfectly. Revlon, the greatest name in cosmetics, brings you the favorite show of the Hollywood stars.
The Mag Down Under Variety Hour.
Good morning, friends. And welcome to the Mag Down Under Variety Hour, Episode 7. It is Saturday the 16th of November, or possibly Sunday the 17th of November, depending on which side of the world you live on. And we are coming to you live from Mag Studio South in Weebelong, Australia. It's another week without a regular Movies About Girls show, so I've stepped in to gather together your favourite Mag stars from all over Mag Nation for an hour and a bit of songs, games and laughs. This morning we've got more Drew stories, we've got more talent spectacular entries, we've got probably the best in underground internet comedians, and we have a terrifically exciting new game show. And we have guests.
Sounds like a fabulous show.
Yes, it does.
I am your host, Alistair Wallace. You may know me from the Movies About Girls show. You may also know me from Magpedia, the Movies About Girls wiki, which you can visit at magpediarocksballs.com. Next to me, as always, is the Tennille to my captain, the ever-lovely Siobhan. Siobhan, welcome to my show.
Oh, thank you, Alistair. Hello, Mag Nation. Yes, in our house.
Hi, Siobhan.
Very welcome and at home. Hello, Drew. Hello, Bo. Hello, Dave.
Hello, we belong.
We do also have Mag Nation's biggest stars. We have everyone's favourite Portlandian, Drew Drunk Buzzy Esquire. Hello, Drew.
Hello, everybody.
We have the greatest thing ever to come out of Washington State, Bo Dooley. Hello, Bo Dooley.
Big talk, buddy. Thank you.
And we have the biggest expert on the Eastern film scene and New York's favorite garage rocker, Squeaky Dave. Hello, Squeaky.
Woo-hoo! Hello!
Not sure if anyone else is going to be joining us. There was
rumour that Cherry Bomb was coming on the show.
I think
Cherry Bomb had to cancel last minute.
A lot of last minutes going on around Mag Nation.
she had a double booking.
Yeah, this was meant to be episode 178 of Mag, but I gather some issues down in old Boston town came up, and so we've stepped in for an emergency Down Under show.
You are a mensch, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
We can rock a skeleton crew, no problem.
Oh, we've got it rocking. Don't worry about that. we also have some ads to play. So I just want to get these out of the way.
Because everyone loves ads.
Settle down for a second, guys.
Yep. It's good to have sponsors.
I don't care. You'll have to take a bath. Taking baths with Soaky's fun. What's Soaky? Soaky's what you put in your bath to make you clean.
Soaky soaks you clean in oceans full of fun. Scrubbly, bubbly, flippity, floppity, clean before you're done.
Soaky soaks you clean and every girl and boy gets a toy. When it's empty, it's a toy.
Ask Mummy to buy a Soaky fun bath for you.
Doing it now.
Okay, Alistair, so far I should be receiving a check from Revlon and Soaky?
Yes.
Thank you.
Our focus group showed us that people especially like hearing ads for products that are no longer available. So that's what the path we're going down this week.
Of course, because they said flippity flop.
Yeah. It's, here's one for a product that is actually still available.
Bo 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 Dio Dough. Ow! Bonnets, take a biscuit, bake it. Bo 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 Dio Dough.
Top it up with strawberry.
Add a little raspberry.
Tickle it with coconut.
Whee!
And what have you got?
What have you got?
You got yourself an Onyx Ice Bo Bo.
Bo Bo.
Ice Bo Bo.
You got yourself an Onyx Ice Bo Bo.
Delicious.
That's all.
Is that an ice Vovo?
There is a biscuit in Australia called the Ice Vovo.
Vovo, okay.
Mm.
Which is...
wonder why that didn't take off in the US.
I don't believe I've ever actually eaten an ice
Vovo. Oh, really? We'll try some.
We'll have to get some next time we go to the local supermarket.
They are basically what they just suggested there. It's
good advertising. The product is exactly what the ad describes.
It's a biscuit with some kind of icing on it and some
I thought it had a marshmallow content as well.
Oh, that's what it is. It's like a marshmallow jam...
Coconut. Biscuit.
Mm. Very sugary.
And I feel like we're dedicating too much time to it.
Okay. before we
it
get...
It sounds like it deserves its own specialty store.
The Ice Vovo store.
Yes.
Right, I'm quitting social work. We're opening an Ice Vovo shop.
I'm sure that'll go down
right there.
Before we get too far into tonight's fun and games, I want to have a quick emergency Weeblog news segment with Siobhan. So we're just going to go through a quick wrap-up of everything that's happening in our fine town.
Ooh, Weeblog. Please do.
Before you begin reading, Siobhan, here is your news theme. Okay, please begin with the first story.
Pupils with talent rock stage. Sensational young talent rocked Dennington's St. John's Parish Primary School last Thursday as part of its Mission Month fundraiser. More than 100 family members and friends attended the St. John's St. John's Got Talent show, raising funds with gold coin donations upon entry. With initially 50 auditions to choose from, performers ranged from prep to grade 6, showcasing amazing talents. The successful final 16 performances included violin solos, keyboard solos, dance routines, joke telling, ballet, and singing acts. Grade 3 teacher and student representative council coordinator, Christy Prendergast, said, "The show was spectacular."
Sorry.
Thank you. "And we're hoping to make it a yearly event for the school. To see the willingness of everyone to join in and show support was amazing," Miss Pendergrass said. "It was a great day with lots of support from everyone. Children are already planning the acts for next year. The school band opened the show. They kicked us off to a rocking start and did a great job setting the mood for the rest of the show," Miss Pendergrass said. "The spirit of the teachers added a twist to the event, with one of the judges dressing up as X Factor Australia's energetic judge, Red Foo." Mm-hmm. "It caused a lot of chaos and was heaps of fun, creating a great spirit and atmosphere," Miss Pendergast said. First, second and third finalists were announced in Monday's assembly. The star performer was grade 2 pupil Sophie Gibson, with an impressive keyboard solo. Sophie will go on to perform at the school's fair, Dennington's Day Out, on November 17th. Which I believe will be happening on this very day.
Excellent. Thank you.
wow. Gradier's got some competition.
Yeah, we should have gone and done some kind of
live broadcast from Dennington's Day Out.
Yeah.
We've got to get more organized.
One more story, Siobhan?
Next up, veteran baker, star of the show. Veteran baker Rhonda Harris was pleasantly surprised to win the Feature Cooking Award for the fifth consecutive year at the Warrnambool Show.
Holy!
Surprised. Mrs. Harris said she was very fortunate to win the coveted Class 1335 Ward McKenzie Feature Show for 4 plain scones, winning $100. There was nothing better than plain scones. She has entered agricultural show cooking competitions since she was a child, and the passionate cook shows no sign of slowing down. The mother of 4 and grandmother still gets great pleasure from entering the show and said it was important to enter for the longevity of the competition and to give patrons exhibits to view. "I've been doing shows since I was 3. Originally, we were from a place called Coolerman, which is near Wagga, and all you had in the whole year was the show and the flower show, and that was what you did. Cooked for the show, cooked for the flower show. So that's what we did," she said. When I was 10, we moved to Sydney, and it was the only year I didn't get to enter the show because entries had to be in by August if you were entering for Easter. We didn't move to Sydney until January, and Mum rang up and they said, "Sorry, you're too late." I can't remember another year that I missed. There was another year I didn't put cooking in, but I did cake decorating instead. That was when I was 9 months and 2 days pregnant, and I did a wedding cake for the Perth show, and I got a prize for that over there, she laughed. It was a family affair, with her four daughters also regular entrants in various show cooking sections. It used to be really hectic with five of us cooking for the show. One of them still enters the Melbourne show, and she wins prizes in the Melbourne show. All of them have won prizes, she said. Mrs. Harris entered 16 categories this year, and despite only having 1 day to cook, she came away with 15 prizes, whipping up 4 sponge cakes, little cakes, fruit scones, marble cake, chocolate cake, and tea cakes for the show competition. I had 13 firsts and 2 seconds, so it was pretty good. There wasn't, unfortunately, a lot of entries this year, but last year I counted it up and I had the same number of prizes, but I had 12 firsts and 3 seconds, and there were a lot more entries last year. Mrs. Harris's favourite cakes to make are sponges and fruit cakes, and she regularly bakes for family and friends. I just enjoy it, she said.
That was very
edifying. I'd have seconds too if there were that many good cakes around.
I've also possibly just set something on fire, so if we have to go... that's why.
Okay.
Sometimes the icing on the cake is the icing on the cake.
For Miss Rhonda, it was indeed. What have you done, Siobhan?
Apparently nothing.
Okay. All right. Good job. Sorry, Siobhan's almost set a box on fire.
Nice work.
Awesome.
Well, I feel like I should have set a box on fire, but I can't see any evidence of that actually having happened. So fingers crossed.
There was a cigarette.
Okay, we'll find out.
We'll find out shortly. In the meantime...
Anyway, on with the show.
Actually, there is one more thing I want to get to before we go too far further. I found this the other day. this exceptionally creepy music... slash piece of sound, and I wonder if anyone can guess what it is. Let me just play it for you, and we'll.
Wait! Are we supposed to guess the instrument?
It's not. Well, look, I'll play it for you, and see if you can guess what the sound is.
Okay.
I'm game.
This is slowed down by, I think, 400%.
Quarter of the way through, fellas.
Oh, wow.
I'm into it.
That was...
any guesses, guys?
Yes.
Yes, both?
Is it ambient echoes in the Aquamoms? In the... what's her name? The Aquamom? The...
Prince Dragon Mom.
The Octomom, yeah. Is it ambient echoes within the Octomom's womb?
look, I'll...
Good guess, though, bro.
What it is, actually, is the sound of a dial-up modem connecting to the internet, slowed down by 400%.
Nice.
Some of a...
Wow.
And I'm sure we're all very familiar with what this sounds like.
I just thought...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Very nostalgic.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're all connected now. So,
via a 400 times slower modem.
Yeah. So let's get on with everyone's favorite segment, Drew Starts. It's time for Drew Stories, the segment where we take a stroll through the exciting and varied life of my pal and yours, Drew Buzzy. Or do we? See, Drew here will be telling a story, but the question is it a Drew story or a false story? We've got three. Three fabulous, exciting, and dubiously truthful stories to get through this morning. So let's get right to it, Drew. Story number one, please.
Okay, well, today's episode of Drew Stories has a theme, and that theme is when animals attack, Drew.
Okay. So,
yes. Ooh. Yes. Get ready, all you beasties and animal lovers. Okay, so let's see. Story number one. When I was a kid, about 9 years old, my brother and my sister and I were visiting relatives in Minnesota. And it was a very snowy time, you know. And we wandered off on our own without permission or whatever. And we ended up in this park that had a giant slide in the shape of a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. And we went, climbed up the slide. And when we were all up there, we noticed a black dog started circling the rocket ship slide. And we noticed that this dog was clearly had rabies and was insane. And it was trying to jump up the slide. It was trying to kill us. Hmm. And we were up there for quite a long time until the point where our parents and relatives realized we were gone and started freaking out and sent out rescue squads and everything. And
wow.
It took about 2 hours for the dog to go away, for us to be rescued from this frozen slide with impending dog doom on the bottom.
Quite a story. Siobhan, do you believe?
I'm going to go with true. There are a lot of elements to that story. I've painted a picture in my mind. I think it's true.
Okay. Bo Dooley, how do you feel about that one?
I feel that a rabid dog is not that common.
Mm-hmm.
A rabid fox would be more common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, it would be a wild dog, and wild dogs run in packs. Therefore, I say it's not true.
Mm. Very well reasoned.
Squeaky Dave, how about you?
So you're telling me you were out there for a couple hours and they called rescue squads?
Rescue squads. No, it wasn't rescue squads. It was quite a big family gathering, so it was groups of family members going out in different directions, trying to track our tracks through the snow and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And you're saying it was a rabid dog?
A black rabid dog, yes.
I'm going to say not true.
Okay.
Okay. And... so it's down to me, is it? I will say true. Let me just see. Hang on. Still don't have a drum roll, Drew. please reveal the truth behind that story.
That is a Drew story.
Oh!
Yep. The park in question is in Minnesota. It's called Rocket Ship Park.
I wonder why.
I was about 9. My brother was 8. My sister was 7. We were trapped up there freezing. Thought we were going to die.
Wow.
And are you now scared of dogs?
Let's wait till the next Drew story to find out the answer to that question.
Drew, I apologize for doubting you.
No, you were very Sherlock Holmes with your reasoning there.
Yeah, it was very, very deductive.
Well, let's go on to the second story, Drew.
Okay. This story also includes dogs, and closer to Bo's interpretation, it does include a pack of dogs. Yeah. When I was in junior high school, around 12 or so, there was a pack of wild dogs that was tormenting our neighborhood. And this one of my friends, his mom was actually attacked by one of these dogs. And so the kind of the neighborhood, our little group of families within the neighborhood were on alert for dogs, you know, but our parents, this was like, you know, the 80s. So parents were still like those phone in parents, you know, like, and, you know, so they didn't care. They were just like, all right, have fun at school. Bye. So one day I was walking to school with my friend Wes, whose mom was the one who got attacked, and we encountered the pack of wild dogs. This is like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning walking to school. And to avoid getting killed by the pack of wild dogs, I jumped over a fence. And when I landed, I hurt my leg real bad. And eventually the dogs went away. I hobbled off to school, and my leg was killing me all day. And it was just like really painful. And by the end of the day, I was like, this is not stopping. I'm going to the nurse. I went to the nurse. I was like, my leg hurts. I was chased by dogs. And she was like, oh my God, your leg's broken. And I had never broken anything before, so I didn't know what to expect pain wise, but I had been walking around all day on a broken leg.
Wow. Siobhan, you seem concerned, but do you believe Drew?
I kind of want to say false, because I mean, I've never broken any bones before either, so I don't really know what it feels like, but I imagine that it would be too painful for you to kind of go, oh yeah, that's just a normal, like, I hurt my leg kind of thing. However, I do have a friend who broke her arm during a game of netball, and her mother is a doctor and didn't take her to the hospital until 2 days later. So she was, you know, getting around with a broken arm unawares for 2 days, and her mother is a doctor, which is slightly concerning. So I know that it does and can happen. So I'm going to go with true again for this one, I think. True.
True. Okay. Squeaky Dave, what about you? How do you feel about this one?
I mean, he's really good. It sounds true. I'm going to go with Drew.
And Bo Dooley?
Okay.
Once again, I contend that Drew is a liar.
Okay.
I believe that, first of all, a 12-year-old, their bones are very flexible, very malleable still. I feel they're not so easily broken. And second of all, a leg is very vague. If I broke a bone, I would be more specific, like I broke my calf bone or I broke, you know, my thigh bone or what have you. And also, thirdly, more often than not, if you're going to jump over a fence, a common injury for anyone and children, I saw it when I was in school, I'm sure you did too, would be like the ankle or down closer to the foot area. Therefore, not true.
Truly exceptional reasoning, as usual, Bo.
I know.
I will just say that I think it is false. Drew, if you can please reveal the answer.
Yeah, well, gosh, Bo's dismissal of my claim is so convincing, I'm wondering if I have a false memory here. the only thing I could add is at the time I was super into BMX, so I was used to wiping out and crashing, and I was always cut up and broken. But unfortunately, that is a Drew story.
Oh my God. Drew, I owe you a Vovo.
Yes. And to you know, back up quite a bit. Yes. My first dog attack experience coupled with being attacked by a pack of wild dogs. There's probably four in this pack. I don't like dogs.
Fair enough.
Can't imagine why.
Before we continue with your third story, I just have one more ad that I would like to play.
It's time, always time, to enjoy Australia's best taste in tea. Coles tea, only 25 cents a half pound. It's Australia's greatest tea value. Sold exclusively by New World supermarkets and Coles stores. And Coles tea sells fast because it's full of good tea flavor. Get more when you pour cup after cup after cup of lively tea flavor that stays good to the last drop. Discover the refreshing difference of Coles quality blend at only 25 cents a half pound. You'll agree, it's the best taste in tea. The fast-selling favourite of Australians because it's full of good tea flavour. Good to the last drop. Enjoy Coles fine quality blend soon. Only 25 cents a half pound. Exclusive to New World supermarkets and Coles stores.
We should go and get some tea.
Coles tea is gross.
Great promotion for our sponsors.
That's not an appropriate statement.
You look severely unimpressed by the pouring sound effects during that ad.
I was more just concerned at how delicious he was making Cole's tea sound, when in fact Cole's tea is not delicious.
Right. Well, let's...
sorry, Cole's. It's full of good tea flavor. That's how you spruik tea.
No, it's true. It's like those Budweiser commercials that they used to have, where they'd like slowly pour the Budweiser, and we all knew what Bud tastes like.
Tastes like beer.
Yeah. Don't pour anymore.
Number three, Drew. What's your third story?
Well, this is kind of a recent one. Well, recent if you're okay with like 10 years, you know. So it's about 7 or 8 years ago, before I lived in the house that I currently live in. I was living with my girlfriend, lover, whatever person, and it was Christmas Eve, and she dumped me and was like, you have to move out.
What a bitch.
So that's just a little bit of background, but we had already made a Christmas obligation to hang out with a couple of her friends who happened to live in Portland. It's at one point, Portland turns into a forest and there's no more houses, but there's a couple outlier houses that just like live kind of off the grid. They're kind of in the middle of a forest or whatever. So we went to go visit our friends there for Christmas. And, you know, I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to try to get her back and stuff. We're going to talk it out or whatever. So it was a super depressing night. But the thing is that these people that we were visiting have a pet monkey, and it's an illegal monkey. It's a rhesus monkey, which stands about 3 feet tall. It's like a gigantic monkey, and they're terrifying. Well, at any rate, I was not too hip on hanging out with a monkey, but I had to go, and so there I was. And I had to meet the monkey, you know, and they have to come inspect you because you're in their territory and stuff like that. And the whole front room was styled, it was designed for monkeys, so they had like bars everywhere and ropes and stuff for this monkey to do. But by the end of the evening, when we were ready to go, apparently I did some gesture that was wrong, and it was interpreted wrong by the monkey, and he thought I was dissing him or something like that. And he got super pissed off and started screaming and ran at me straight across the room as fast as he could and jumped on me and started attacking me. He bit into my pants. Luckily, I was wearing Levi's 501s. Huh? And he started ripping and shredding, the ripping and the tearing.
Yeah.
until his owners pulled him off of me. And then I left and went home after that traumatizing Christmas and ended up moving out and moving into where I live now.
Oh. Yikes.
Wow. Yikes.
Siobhan, do you believe that story?
Oh, I so badly want that to be true. Not because I want Drew to be terrorized and traumatized and have terrible Christmas associations, but that's an amazing story. I'm going to go true again. I want it to be true.
That's true again. Squeaky Dave, what about you?
Sure. Nobody goes through a monkey attack unscathed. It's no way it's true.
False. Says.
False. It's false.
Bo Dooley, your reasoning behind this one?
My reasoning behind the reason I think it's false is that a simian, sir, when it attacks,
right?
Will go for your groin or your face. It won't hump your leg like a dog. Therefore, false.
Thanks.
There you go.
Thank you, Bo.
Nice one, Bo.
And I will say, look, I'll say true. Drew, please reveal the answer to this mystery.
That is a motherfucking Drew story.
Woo-hoo!
Oh,
woo! I win.
Yep.
And our true believer for this morning is Siobhan, who believed Drew every time and was rewarded with success.
Yay!
This power is incredible.
Congratulations, Siobhan.
You know,
I got to throw something else out there too, because at one point everyone left the room and it was just me and the monkey.
Oh God!
And he grabbed someone's lighter, one of those plastic ones that's clear that you can see through, and he cracked it open and drank the lighter fluid.
Goodness!
Ah, you were stuck alone in a room with a monkey with substance use problems.
Yeah.
Crap! That's terrifying.
Drunken monkey kung fu right there.
Do you know monkey is? Do you know how long it lived? I mean, I'm going to assume that it did not have.
I'm going to assume it. I have no idea. I have no idea. It was Rachel and Sarah who were friends, and Rachel's husband. So I stopped being friends with them after I got dumped, and I haven't seen them since. I haven't seen the monkey since, but. Unless I, you know, close my eyes and think about it, which is pretty easy to do, because once you're attacked by a fucking rhesus monkey, you don't forget it.
Sure.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. Imagine a three foot tall King Kong wearing diapers running at you screaming.
Yeah, that's not cool. No.
Terrifying.
No. That's no.
Terrifying. Let's move quickly on. From that, before we go to a break, we have the debut of a new game. Here is the intro, and then I'll explain what's going to happen afterwards. It is time for Justin's one-man movie game. You all know my good friend and the world's greatest underground comedy superstar, Justin Greenberg. You might find him on YouTube under Moive Montage Guy. That's MOIVE. Well, we have now teamed up for the world's most exciting new game show, Justin's one-man movie game. In this game, Justin will be acting out a scene from a movie by himself, and you will guess which movie the scene comes from. We'll be playing three rounds, and what fun we're going to have. Here is the first movie.
Justin's one-man movie game.
And then we'll guess what the movie is.
How come you didn't break the guy's thumb like I told you?
I didn't know what I did to do.
You don't think I hear things? Did I give you a job this morning or didn't I, huh?
Yeah.
So why didn't you break his thumb like I told you? When you don't do what I tell you to do, you make me look bad, Rock.
I figured if I break the guy's thumb, he's gonna lay it off, right? And he can't make
Yeah, well, don't figure. Let me do the figuring for you, okay, Rock? From here on in, let me do the figuring, you know? These guys think we're running some kind of charity or something? That they can't get off light? From here on out, don't do what I tell you to do, because it's bad for my reputation. You understand? You got it? You got it, Rock?
I got it.
Good. Now tomorrow you collect 400 from Del Rio. And if I tell you to break a guy's nose or thumb as a late payment notice, you can do it.
Hey, how you spell Del Rio?
Look it up in the dictionary, Rock.
What's a dictionary? Hey, come on. I won't let it happen no more about the time, you know?
Hey,
So long, meatbag!
I should have broke your thumb!
Thank you, Justin. Does anyone have any guesses as...
Ding, 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 ding.
Dave, what do you think that movie is?
Rocky.
Oh, it is indeed doing a one-man version of Rocky.
Felt like I was really there, and I've never even seen Rocky.
It was a great interpretation.
It was.
Also, Rocky? What's that?
I believe it was the first time I've ever heard, if I'm not mistaken, that was Joe Spinell's character.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah,
oh,
so that's the first time I've heard Joe Spinell impersonated.
Thank you. Good one, Justin.
Congratulations, Justin. A world first here on the Mag Down Under Variety Hour. Here is movie number two. See if you can guess what this one is.
You use me. You use Raymond. You use everybody. Using Raymond? Hey, Raymond, am I using you? Am I using you, Raymond?
Yeah.
Shut up! He is answering a question from a half hour ago.
Ooh. Ding, ding, ding.
Drew, that movie is?
Everybody Loves Raymond the movie.
No, sorry. Any other guesses?
Well, I would like to say Rain Man.
You've done it again.
Thank you.
Good one.
That was Justin's interpretation of Oscar-winning film Rain Man. Let's finish up with his final one-man movie. See if you can guess what this one is, friends.
How come you didn't break the guy's thumb like I told you?
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
Wait a minute.
Second.
How come you?
Wait a minute.
How come you didn't break the guy's thumb like I told you?
All right.
Good fellas. Ding, ding, ding. Good fellas.
Okay. Well, look. Thank you, Justin. That was. Justin's won the movie game.
He seemed to be one clip short.
Seemed to have had a bit of an issue with putting together the clips there. But Justin's won that movie game, everyone.
Woo-hoo! Right on.
Blame it on that 400 times.
Justin's one-man movie game. Justin's one-man movie game. Justin's one-man movie game.
Okay, let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll have the Mag Down Under Talent Spectacular, and let's also talk about some movies that we've seen lately. Why not, you guys?
Right on.
Here is a song called Ten Guitars. You may know it as an Engelbert Humperdinck song, but I'll be singing it for you this morning. So here we go. Guitars on
guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, oh, this is what you do. Oh, oh, dance, dance, dance to my ten guitars. And very soon you'll know just where you are. Up through the eyes of love you see a thousand stars. When you dance, dance, dance to my ten guitars. Dance, dance, dance to my ten guitars. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my ten guitars.
Thank you. Thank you. That was me. with an Engelbert Humperdinck song called Tango.
Was there really 10 guitars in that song?
I think there were at least 10 MIDI instruments. I don't know about guitars.
Right. That's a lot.
Some would say too many.
Possibly. For one band, that's too many guitars. But, they're for love, so, you know, who can say whether you can ever have too many guitars?
There was a, remember Band-Aid and all those, you know, there was a heavy metal version called Stars. I don't know if anyone knows about that. No. It's not worth remembering, but what's funny about it is that they had a bunch of, you know, like hot cock rock and guitar players do their guitar, that were famous for guitar solos, so... Everyone from Eddie Van Halen, Iron Maiden, everybody was there. But they do like the guitar solo is so fucking hilarious in that song because it's like 8 minutes long, like way too long for, you know, what you would expect. And there's like, yeah, there is like 10 guitars in that.
Well, they're for love, Drew. They're for love. Well, because it's been a while since we've had a proper mag show. I assume everyone has been watching plenty of movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, why not pretend that we're on a movie podcast, you guys, and let's go through some movies that everyone has seen. Squeaky Dave, you always have tremendous recommendations. Why don't you let us know what you've seen lately?
You know, I had a lot of magtacular things happen to me because there were some, you know, here in New York City, you could see all kinds of movies, not just new movies, but old movies. So there was a series of horror films at the Film Society, Lincoln Center, and I saw a mag classic called Twins of Evil.
Ah, Twins of Evil.
The Hammer movie, you know, with the Collinson twins. Yep. And I mean, I'd seen it before, but I'd never seen it on 35mm in the movie theater, and it was awesome. And then right after that, I went over to Anthology Film Archives, where they were having the Golden Age of Spanish Horror Festival.
Wow.
And I went and saw, you know, that guy Paul Naschy. He made all the werewolf movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Werewolf versus the Vampire Woman, which was awesome. And then I went back to see more Spanish horror, including another mag classic, Vampires with a Y.
Ah.
You know, that's just incredible. I never seen it on 35mm, and it just solidified how great that movie is to me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I saw a lot more movies. I could keep going, but I don't want to take up too much time.
Look, we've got all the time in the world, Dave. For your recommendations, all the time in the world.
Oh, all right. So it was another Spanish horror by Jess Franco called Venus in Furs.
Yep.
Uh-huh. You all seen that?
No, I haven't.
Do you know Jess Franco?
I do know Jess Franco. Not personally.
Because he's dead, and he's dead, too. Yeah. So that guy was very prolific. He made a lot of movies. And I never really got it because so many of his movies are really terrible and boring.
Yeah, he has made some awful films. Of the Jess Franco films I've seen have been dreadful.
Yeah,
and
they're right up there with Gene Roland.
Yep.
No, I actually, I gotta disagree with Drew. I think Jean Roland is some kind of amazing, weird auteur. But Jess Franco,
you
on the other hand...
Right.
Yeah, but Jess Franco, on the other hand, most of his... I know I've seen some films of his that I loved. But like this one, Venus in Furs, it was so weird. But it was so bad. But it was so... It was like my friend said, I'm really glad I saw this, but I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre. And, yeah, so I saw some... What was the other Spanish horror movie? I don't forget. I don't remember. And I saw some disturbing movies, so... I don't know if you want me to talk about those.
Well, how
Bad Girl, Irreversible, what?
Yeah, I saw... Well, so do you know the Korean director Kim Ki-duk?
No,
I'm a big fan of his. He
not
has
personally.
A new movie... Okay, I'm not going to say too much. He's an expert in Disturbo cinema, and his movies are great. I love him, but I saw his newest movie called Mobius, mm-hmm. and I just can't say too much about this because there's one word that will sort of destroy / give it away, but it is, oh my God, excruciating. And then I saw another movie that was disturbing but very interesting, and maybe Drew knows about this because... One of the cases it's based on took place in Portland, I think, and it's called Megan is Missing.
Oh, I've heard of that, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, so. It's very disturbing. It's a found footage movie, but it has a lot of things to say about everything.
Mm. Well, a lot to check out there. Drew, how about you? You work in Portland's greatest video store. Have you been watching movies lately?
I sure have. Let's see. I don't even know where to start. Let me start with something that I saw recently, like a couple days ago, that just like blew my fucking mind. And it's highly recommended. This is a documentary called Leviathan. Has anybody heard of this? It's a documentary about one of those like fishing boats that goes out into the deep sea for like 2 weeks at a time, and does mass commercial fishing. But this documentary is like nothing you've ever seen before. There is no audio in it at all. Well, there is audio, let me say that. There's no dialogue, there's no description, no narrator, no nothing. It is basically what it is those GoPro cameras.
Yeah,
they lined this ship from top to bottom, underneath, above, sideways, inside the actual rooms where all the action takes place, the little break rooms where the employees take breaks, and they just recorded everything and just cut it all together with the audio streaming, and it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's the quality is amazing. Those particular cameras, the GoPro cameras, they create a really claustrophobic, really bizarre shot, and because they're not controlled, they're just there, like however whatever happens in front of the camera happens, and there's no framing or anything. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Trial of Joan of Arc by Carl Dreyer.
Yep.
Danish filmmaker.
Yeah.
And, that film's shot like entirely in close-up, right? So
yeah.
Like a lot of this film Leviathan reminded me of that, because there's so many awkward moments where it's just like someone's in the break room falling asleep watching the news, and it's like all this empty space, and there's just someone crammed right next to the camera, or outside there's just like seagulls, because there's constantly seagulls chasing this ship, for scraps. So it's just like seagulls just clogging the camera every which way, and they're all upside down and stuff, and and then there's it's nonstop gurgling sounds from like the water on the outside, and then when they go on the inside, and just people just chopping up fish, and it's just, there's nothing controversial or gross about it necessarily. Like it's not like, they don't show disgusting shots of people ripping fish apart and stuff like that. It's just, but the whole thing is very unsettling, and it's also very beautiful and provocative, and I can't recommend this documentary enough. Leviathan. Yeah. Let's see, what else did I watch? I watched a really cool exploitation film called Vengeance Is Mine, aka Death Force.
Okay.
Which one is that?
It's one of the ones shot in the Philippines. It's basically like there's three dudes, this white dude and two black dudes from Vietnam, and like they have this plan to like steal a bunch of gold and take it back to the States and become big time drug dealers or something. So they double cross one of their partners and shoot him, or no, they cut his throat and dump him in the water, and then he washes up on some deserted island where there happens to be two Japanese soldiers left over from the war that still think the war is going on, and so they teach him the ways of the sword, of course, in a great montage. And then so now he has, you know, mastery of the sword, and he goes back.
I've seen this.
Yes, and he goes back to the States to get revenge, and it's like a really, really fucking awesome exploitation movie. And it has that like super quick George Romero style, like early George Romero style editing, where it's just like, you know, the scene just hard cuts right when you're like, why did it hard cut right there into something else? But that like hard cutting is throughout the movie, and it just plays brilliantly. And like you kind of fall in love with these ridiculous characters, and it's one of the better exploitation movies I've seen. I think it's out on DVD now as a as Death Force, but
Is it a black guy wielding a samurai sword?
Yeah, he's got an afro in the whole thing, and
and he's badass. Yeah, I've seen that.
That awesome. Sounds amazing. There was actually at least one Japanese soldier I know of on an isolated island. Who didn't find out about the end of World War II until, I think, the 70s? Does anyone back me up on that?
I've heard that story.
Yeah. It's definitely a theme. They have, there's, I forget the name of the movie, but it's James Coburn and, what's his name? The guy who starred in a bunch of Kurosawa films. Mifune.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mifune Toshiro.
Yeah, so, there's awesome... That theme pops up in films now and then.
Fantastic.
Even in David Sedaris, a couple films. Well, God, I can't think of the name. But at any rate, so that was awesome. And then, I don't know, the only thing else that I thought is noteworthy is this film called Take Shelter. And it stars Michael Shannon, and it's written and directed by this guy, Jeff Nichols.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's really worth seeing. It's gave me a lot of hope for independent film, you know, and kind of, you know, because in the 90s there was a whole independent film uprising, you know, but it kind of seems like the self-gratuitous subject matter of the 90s, like, didn't, you know, there's no staying power in it, so... And here we are in this weird time of film, like, you know, you have to make every film PG-13 and everything has to be popcorn movie to make any money. So it's when somebody takes the time and gets financing for an independent film, it's pretty special nowadays, you know what I mean? So but this dude, Jeff Nichols, he's doing like kind of the whole Southern Gothic thing, you know, that was kind of Sam Shepard-esque and stuff like that. And I really appreciate what I've seen by this dude. He also did Mud, which is a more modern, more higher budget movie, which is also recommended. But Take Shelter, it's really cool. Michael Shannon stars in it. It's basically just about this man. He's a construction worker, kind of, or actually works in oil, but he just starts having these apocalyptic visions of the world ending, and he gets really paranoid, and he starts like trying to build out this storm shelter. It takes place in like Iowa or Ohio or something like that. And, you know, he's just freaking the shit out of his family and stuff, and like blowing their all their savings, you know. And it's really awesome to watch this movie because he just goes slowly insane. But it's got a lot of twists and turns, and it's really an awesome, sweet little, well directed, brilliant little independent film. Take Shelter.
Take Shelter. Bo Dooley, have you been watching films?
Well, first of all. I would like to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
That we are not on camera.
No.
Yes.
And that we are on Skype and not Google Plus. And I would just like to make it clear, I would like to address a concern. I would like to make it clear that regardless of if we're on Skype or Google Plus or YouTube or what have you, if we're podcasting, I just don't want us to podcast using a wooden surface, because I feel that would be counterproductive. yeah. And,
Thank you, Beth.
Yes. And also, I watched Full Moon High, which is a spoof of the 50s teenage monster movies.
Yep.
It was really funny. Go
hey,
ahead.
Werewolves are in, man.
Yeah.
Everyone's into werewolves.
Well, this is from 1981.
Oh, well, that's pre-Teen Wolf, even.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is just weird. I have to throw this out. I have a friend who works in editing erotica. No, I have a friend who works in editing, like type editing for like erotic ebooks.
Yeah.
And right now, like the number one selling erotic science fiction fantasy / whatever, you know, ebook topic, gay werewolves.
Get into writing it, Drew. That's how we're going to make our millions.
Yes.
Gay werewolves.
That's intense. Gay werewolves.
I just thought
I
it was no
get
worthy.
Into lesbian mermaids.
Well, that's the next level shit,
I think you've just blown that's Alistair's mind, Bo.
Siobhan, have you... I know what you've been watching.
Lesbian vampires.
It's been that long since we've actually done a show that the last... I can talk about The End. I watched that movie. I think it's called The End.
With Burt Reynolds?
No.
No, the...
I don't think he was in it.
A movie called The End with Burt Reynolds. I swear to Satan.
I do not believe it was that one, no. It was the one with James Franco and Danny McBride and Jonah Hill and all those douchebags.
Okay. Yes, sure.
Yeah, it was... I kind of thought it was pretty... self-indulgent, really.
You should see the one with Burt Reynolds.
We'll check out. Going to take that under advisement. I do enjoy Burt Reynolds. But yeah, so this The End movie. It was kind of funny. It had moments of amusement, and it was kind of funny to see the guys. Like they clearly were making fun of themselves quite a lot, but it just felt. It still felt like, you know, we're famous and rich and awesome, and we love ourselves. So let's just show everyone how much we like ourselves. So there's that one. I kind of like them too. I don't know. This movie just didn't really do it for me. I think Danny McBride was the best because he's just, he doesn't really give a shit what people think of him and he's a dickhead. He's so funny. And apart from that, I have sat through all of the X-Files from beginning to end, including both movies, because I had never seen it before. Because I was a child when it was on TV and I wasn't allowed to watch it. My parents thought it would give me nightmares.
So what'd you think? What'd you think of it?
I loved it. It's awesome. It's great. I almost want to watch it again. I must admit, towards about halfway through season 6, it does start to go downhill quite a lot.
Yeah. Right.
Once they kind of, you know, reveal the big underlying blah blah story that I don't want to say anything about because who knows, there might be other people in the world who haven't seen it. It all kind of goes downhill and I feel like it probably should have ended at the end of season 5. The last 4 seasons really weren't necessary. Yeah. But I really liked it. I enjoyed it. It was great. The first movie is good. The second movie was terrible and boring and just awful. But they are talking about potentially, possibly making another movie, which I have hope for. It will be good, and the rumors at the moment say that it will focus back on the actual main storyline rather than being a sort of a standalone story like the second movie was, and it'll deal with the conspiracy, alien colonization, blah blah blah. So yeah, if that happens, I'm very curious about it. But yeah, I loved it; thought it was great.
I gotta throw something out there real quick too, because I think it's interesting to I've been watching we watch X-Files now and then in the store, you know, because we're always looking for anything that's you can play in the store, you know, you can't really put on Dawn of the Dead or anything, but I never really watched X-Files when it was on, you know, and I thought it was kind of cheesy. It was okay, but it wasn't. But in retrospect, watching it, I think it's pretty great. I actually like it. It's super entertaining.
Look, there's definitely some good moments. Only because the bits that we watched most recently were the terrible episodes, it gets a little overshadowed by that. But I think, you know, the first 5 seasons are terrific. And now we're watching Murder, She Wrote.
All of Murder, She Wrote.
From the beginning.
Oh, where's Amanda when you need her? She loves that show.
I love Angela Lansbury and this show. Amazing.
Yeah. What's so awesome about it?
Hang on.
What's so awesome about Murder, She Wrote is like throughout the whole series, Angela Lansbury has like the biggest, like she has a higher body count than anyone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like year after year of everywhere she goes, someone dies. It's just like,
as I keep saying, I said, if she just stayed in her house and never had anybody over, nobody would die.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, some of the guest stars though are
amazing,
pretty incredible. You've got
Stephen Keats.
Oh my God,
Jessica
Walter. That's my friend's father.
I know. Jessica Walter is in it. What's his face? Kinnicky.
Jeff Conaway.
Jeff Conaway. He's in it.
John Astin. Gomez Adams is in it.
Oh, John Astin.
Yeah, tons of people. I mean, that's probably my favorite thing.
Almost every episode, there's someone who you go, oh, Piper Laurie was in an episode of it. You just kind of go, oh. And I found that a bit with, what else was that? Oh, I'd been watching a bit of, not Twilight Zone, the other one.
Outer Limits.
And in that one as well, in almost every episode, there's someone who you go, holy crap, that was that person when they were really young.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, plenty to recommend there. Let's, well, hang on, Dave. You want me to bring on Texas Mike?
Yes, that would be great.
Can you let me know his Skype name?
And okay, then, let me talk to him. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, look, let's listen to an ad.
Ever since people began starting the day with Skippy cornflakes. Things are really hopping.
Oh, that's a really annoying sound.
Skippy cornflakes, they get you hopping. From Sanitarium, the people who believe food should not only taste good, it should be good for you.
Thank you, Sanitarium.
Is that Skippy cornflakes? Is that what it's now just known as, cornflakes?
No.
Aww.
No.
I love how noisy everyone thought the future was going to be. It's so evident in all these like shitty sci-fi movies I watch, and like, you know, even early Star Trek and stuff. It's just like constant electronic noise.
Hey, here's an ad that's also a recipe.
Mmm, vanilla slice. And it's so easy to make with Arnott Sayo biscuits. Simply line a dish with a layer of Sayos and pour on half an inch of thick vanilla custard. Then add another layer of Sayos and top with thin passion fruit icing. For the full recipe, write to Arnott's, care of the station. Everyone likes vanilla slice, and it's simple to make with Arnott Sayo biscuits.
Simply serve with Sayo.
Yeah, for the full recipe, write to me. Yes, Bob.
Speaking of recipes, I discovered an easy-to-make Irish dessert called Peace O'Cake.
Of what?
Peace O'Cake.
On a side note, piece of trivia, vanilla slice, apparently also sometimes referred to as a snot block in Australia.
True.
True. That sounds gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
You won't hear that on the commercial.
Time for the... how are we going with that Skype name, guys?
I'm still waiting on his response.
Okay, good. Time for the Mag Down Under Talent Spectacular.
You're a star, you're a star.
You're a star.
And I know that it's
since you're a star.
Yeah.
It's the Mag Down Under Talent Spectacular.
Yeah.
Ship in 10? Why have I got 10 written down there? It's 8. Eight contestants named Emma from all around the world, whom will be doing their best to impress our judges, Drew, Bo Dooley, Squeaky Dave, Siobhan, and maybe Texas Mike. If we can work this out.
Hope so.
We're all judges.
You are. Of course, the Talent Spectacular differs from popular game show Hits from Hell, which... when was the last time we did Hits from Hell, guys?
Hell if I know.
Yeah, forever ago. in a few ways. Firstly, we are branching out into other forms of entertainment, not just songs. Secondly, we have no gong. However, as with previous episodes, our judges may be able to convince me to stop the act unless I really like it. So are you ready for the Mag Down Under Talent Spectacular?
May I request...
Alistair, if you perform the act on me, I will never ask you to stop it.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
May I request a review of the scoring?
Oh, okay.
Before we begin, because I, for one, can't remember it.
We have, let's see, if you really dislike the act, you can give it the Price is Right horns.
Which is a minus one.
If you just plain
right.
Been impressed by it, there's a buzzer. If you liked it,
which is a zero.
It's hard
to get points in this game.
There's a ding.
Wait, so okay.
Yep, sorry, Dave.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
It's a very complicated scoring system here.
So yeah, the ding is
The ding is 1 point.
1 point. If you are hugely impressed by the act in question, you can give it the Bob Kemmer asking his mum for money.
Mom! I need money! You give me money!
Bring money!
And it's 2 points.
Yeah, except now I think I'm going to change it, which I seem to do every week.
Okay.
the horns is a minus one, but I'm going to make the buzzer a one, the ding a two, and the Bob Kemmer a three. Okay. There we go.
Nice.
That seems more fair.
Okay.
You cracked the code.
We have.
We're just throwing Emma a bone by doing that, but you know.
Yeah, felt like I was being mean having a zero score as an option.
First up, we have Emma, who attends Val's Elementary in Michigan. Emma went to her school's talent show, and she told some hilarious jokes. So please take it away, Emma number one.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm Emma's favorite shirt. Do you love jokes?
Yeah!
Good, because I have one for you. Well, there's a lot of snouts at home.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you call a snowman, an old snowman?
Water.
Oh, water. I'm really hungry. Do you know what sounds good? Muffins. My mom makes good muffins. Two of those muffins were in the oven. One says the other. It's on here, Mom. The other one said, oh my goodness, it's a talking muffin. Hey, what do you call a monster that likes to dance?
What?
Right.
The boogeyman. Ladies, do you like Cinderella?
Yes.
Do you know why she can't play soccer?
Why?
Because she ran away from the ball. Do any of you like knock-knock jokes?
Yes.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Open the door and you'll find out. You have all many wonderful
audience. Woo! Thank you, Emma number one.
Damn, that audience is easily amused.
They were. That was a dream audience.
I know.
Siobhan, how did you feel about Emma's jokes?
To be honest, this segment really grates at me, so I feel like my feelings about the segment are reflecting on my feelings about the performance. Given she was very young, but they were poor and boring and predictable. But she had confidence, and that's important. So she gets a buzzer.
Okay, a buzzer for Emma number one. Bodley, you are Magnation's preeminent jokesman.
Preeminent?
I think so.
Eminent?
Thank you.
No, preeminent. How did you feel about Emma's jokes?
Well, A, she barely modulated her voice. It sounded like a robot just speaking. It sounded like fake Gore Girl. B, the audience was giving her sympathy laughs, and they were very happy when she left the stage. And C, it was so echoey. It sounded like it was recorded inside the Automom's womb, guys. Am I right? So I couldn't make out what she was saying, so I give her a horn.
Squeaky Dave, what did you think of Emma and her jokes?
First of all, I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Yep.
It sounded terrible and unfunny, and I give her a buzzer.
And finally, Drew, your thoughts on Emma's jokes.
Well, I was going to give her, a buzzer because, originally I was leaning towards, A for effort, right? She got up there. Public speaking is a big fear, big public fear. And she broke through that barrier and she was up there. But something about her attitude halfway through made me kind of think attention whore, and
definitely a whore.
That coupled with the fact that, her Cracker Jack box jokes weren't funny to begin with. Fuck Emma. I want the horns.
Well, sorry, Emma. Let's see if our next Emma can do better. Up next, Emma and her baby brother Jack, who are from Australia or possibly New Zealand, and they're going to do a magic trick for us.
It's kind of obvious, isn't it?
Can we open our
Jack,
eyes?
Yes. Is under this blanket.
No.
Now, come this way.
Poor Jack. What are you doing?
You can see him.
Oh! Hi, Jack.
Under the blanket. Now, get back under. This way.
Where are you going? Don't let him hurt himself.
You're not supposed to.
Oh, okay. Dum-de-da.
Now.
Hurry up.
You're so heavy, Jack.
Oh, are you picking him up?
He's gone!
How did you turn him into a pillow?
Darth Vader pillow at that.
Now we're going to bring him back.
Okay. How are you going to do that? That's a pillow.
Yay!
Woohoo! Amazing.
Hello.
Siobhan.
Wow.
Well, wow. I feel like maybe they need to, rehearse a little more, polish the show before they decide to record it for the world to then have access to and critique. I can see where they were going. It would have been magical and spectacular if it was more polished, but it wasn't. And it sounded like they did not know what they were doing. So it gets the horns.
Squeaky Dave, your thoughts on that magical act? Squeaky Dave.
He's boycotting in protest.
Have we lost him?
What's up?
Oh, Squeaky Dave.
What
did you think?
I passed out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is that a buzzer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a buzzer.
Buzzer. Drew, your thoughts on that magic act?
Okay, I was kind of happy when she made the little kid disappear.
Yeah.
Because I don't like little kids.
No.
So I was really upset when she made him reappear.
Yeah.
Mistake.
And then, yeah. On top of that, I fucking hate parents who think their kids are so special that they deserve YouTube space. So again, the parents ruined it for me, so let's give it the horns.
And finally, Bo Dooley, your thoughts on
that? I thought that it was a fantastic magic trick, but the magic trick isn't what was on YouTube. The magic trick is the fact that you, as an Australian, cannot tell if she was from New Zealand or Australia.
I really
therefore couldn't. Give her the motherfucking Bob Kimmer money.
Yeah,
Mom, I need money. You give me money now.
Thank you, Bo.
Yes, sir.
I'm hang on. I'm just trying to add Michael.
Yay!
Let's see if I can do this.
You can do it.
Let's see if he's going to answer. Let's see what's going to happen.
Definitely
gonna I see a little Texas Mike
ooh,
box.
Oh, hang on.
Michael! Oh, Michael! Come on, Mike.
Texas Mike. Hello, Texas Mike.
He's not there yet. Let me talk to him.
Okay. here's an ad.
Smooth flavor, 3 fives. 3 Fives preferred around the world, the only filter cigarette made from such rare, smooth-flavored tobaccos. So smooth. So rich and satisfying. Discover for yourself the best cigarette in the world. Smooth Flavor 3 Fives by State Express.
Texas Mike. Hello, Texas Mike.
Yeah. Come on, Mike.
Okay.
I emailed
all notifications is easy to miss.
Don't be shy.
Here's let's just go on with round three.
Oh, I see something happening. Nothing.
round three. Look, guys, this one is really going to knock your socks off.
All right.
8-month-old Emma, and she's going to show us what her mother described on YouTube as her major talent. Which is blowing spit bubbles.
Gross.
Gong, please, Stacy.
Thank you, Drew.
Nice one, Emma. Siobhan, how did you feel about that?
Children are gross, and all that could make me think of was, you know, when you see, like, babies and toddlers, and they always seem to have this permanent, like, film of slime around their mouth and nose?
Yep.
That is what it made me think of, and that makes me want to vomit. And I don't know why a mother would think that was a charming or attractive or enjoyable or entertaining thing to make people look at or listen to. And also you. Why did you make us listen to that?
Yeah.
And it gets the horse. It's fucking terrible.
Bo Dooley, your feelings on Emma's spit bubbles?
Well, this kid, this baby, the baby is not at fault. It's the mom. The mom is one of those people who would give a kid a sort of participation certificate, even if they didn't win the race. It's kind of like, right. Yeah. So it was just pure nonsense. I give it a buzzer.
You realize she gets 1 point for that.
That's fine. That's not the baby's fault.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Right.
Drew Buzzy.
He's onto something there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your feelings on that one?
I can't say enough bad things about babies and kids, but I'll try.
I admire your effort, Drew.
I definitely agree with Siobhan about the, you know, I think parents just get so used to seeing it, they don't, it doesn't equate anything to them. They're just like, oh yeah, you know,
yeah, it's
me
just,
and all my parent
slime.
Friends get it, you know, but it, you know, it, it, like in the case of my work, you know, sometimes people come in with their babies and they're holding video boxes or whatever, and they give them to the babies and they put them in their mouth. You know what I mean?
Straight in the mouth. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that's disgusting for me, you know, as someone who has to handle these things. But what's, you know, it's just, it's so unsanitary to begin with, you know, like I'm going to go into, it's like, you know, I'm going to go into this public place and pick this thing up and then put it in my, you know, and then it's going to go in my baby's mouth. And, you know, I just, it's so disgusting. And I just have to give this whole thing up. The horns, you know, it's too much.
And finally, Squeaky Dave, your feelings on that one.
Well, you know, I think Siobhan really summed it up well. I'm all totally 100% behind what she said. It is really annoying, and I'm really upset, and it is gross, and the horns is the worst thing you can give it, right?
Yeah.
So I give it the horns.
I could come up with...
No.
At this point in time, the horns is the worst thing you can be given. I would like to just back up what Bo said, though, in that I think... The sentiment is we're giving the mother the horns, really. You know, the child, sure. The child didn't have a choice
absolutely.
In this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the mother is a dick.
Hey, it's something to bring the whole
well,
shop.
Well, you are what you eat.
Here's something to bring the show up.
She'd eaten a little more, maybe she would end up with that baby.
Yeah.
Here's a piece from Justin called... French fried taters.
I reckon I like French fried taters. French fried taters. I reckon I like French fried taters. French fried taters.
I feel so refreshed.
This homemade lemonade. This homemade lemonade.
Here's another Emma for you guys. This is Emma from the United States. She's 2 years old, and she's going to play some songs on the Gayagyum, which is
the what?
Gayagyum, which is a traditional Korean instrument.
Gayagyum.
It's a 12-string instrument related to other Asian instruments, including the Chinese guzheng and the Japanese koto.
Uh-huh.
So here's Emma.
Good job! What are you playing? Is that a Korean instrument called kaegeum?
I'm done, kaegeum.
Are you all done? Do you want to do one more song? Okay. Why don't you do... Good job! Okay, can you go play one more song? Okay. Wow!
Go!
Okay, can you wave to the camera?
Bye bye, camera!
Bye bye!
Bye bye!
Bye bye!
Wow! Bye!
Siobhan, what did you, were you impressed?
That one surprisingly, genuinely actually made me smile. The child seemed genuinely quite cute and, you know, terrible at whatever the hell she was trying to do, but she's 2 years old and her mother is forcing her into, I don't know, some kind of child labor slavery in front of the camera thing. But, you know, I think that child's got potential, so I'm going to give her a ding.
Okay. Squeaky Dave?
Sure. I agree with Siobhan. That was... Did I hear correctly that was a Korean instrument?
It's a Korean instrument.
The child was two, and she could even say the name of the instrument better than the mother could.
Better than
I? So she's a Korean-American child?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I agree. As far as babies and mothers go, that was very well behaved. It was kind of interesting. So, yeah, I give it a ding.
Drew Buzzy, how did you feel about that one?
Okay, well, I'm really glad that Dave cleared up that issue about the child's nationality, because I was actually, you know, at first, you know, I kind of got that
flavor of that smarmy white upper class privilege thing where they try to like, oh, I'm doing my part because I'm so invested in someone else's culture. Meanwhile, you know, my husband, you know, we make all our money by dumping toxic waste in the ocean and stuff like that. I hate that shit, you know. So the fact that it was like a, you know, Korean American really is making me back down from my initial
saved it.
Report. Yeah, I like that. And I actually happen to really like Korean culture and music and stuff like that. So,
and do you make all your money by dumping toxic things in the ocean, Drew?
No, no. But,
just checking.
You know, I don't.
He would if he could. But he
can't. I sure would, fuck, but I sure would. You know, because then I could afford Korean instruments. But the actual. It's the act, the child, the performance, you know, I think I heard Doggy in there, you know, I mean, that was, and I love experimental music, so I'm giving this the Bob Kimmer.
Bob Kimmer!
Mom! I need money! You give me money now!
And finally, Bo Dooley, your thoughts on that one.
Okay, just 2 points. A, she was singing and playing her instrument at the same time. And B, she sounded like a drunk chipmunk. So C, Bob Kimmer money.
Mom, yeah. Need money! You give me money now!
So round five well, we're going to change things up a little. Not only is this Emma somewhat significantly older than most of our other Emmas, but it's an Emma who's not actually an Emma. It's drag queen Emma from Poland. Who's gonna sing a song for us called Gudzisi Bidzignik.
That old classic.
Take it away, Emma.
Oh boy.
Niepoważny to nie szczere, jak bezwolne manekiny, przestawiane i kopane, duszka pełne wazeliny, oczka stale rozbiegane, bez godności, bez honoru, zakłamane swoje racje, wykrzykuje taki dobór, śmieszny przedtem po kolacji, śmieszny przedtem po kolacji, śmieszny przedtem.
Thank you, Polish drag queen Emma. Siobhan, how did you feel about Polish drag queen Emma and her song
Well, her Polish pronunciation was markedly better than yours.
Yep.
But I suspect that's because she actually is Polish.
Yep.
Which does give her an advantage.
Yep.
I quite enjoyed that. I was in the moment. I was picturing a statuesque bouffant blonde in delightful sequined shoulder padded dresses and size 12 heels, and gaudy, horrible, long fake nails. I was having a fabulous time, and she gets a ding.
A ding from Siobhan. Bo Dooley, how did you feel about Polish drag queen Emma?
It was karaoke. I had to give it a buzzer.
Squeaky Dave, your thoughts on Polish drag queen Emma?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It was very cabaret, and I ding it.
And finally, Drew Buzzy, your thoughts on Polish drag queen Emma?
Well, nothing new around here about drag queens or cabaret stuff or karaoke, so on that level, it's a big nothing to me, but I kind of like the Polish angle, so I'm going to give it a buzzer.
Nice.
Okay. Texas mic update? Still not answering.
Oh, so. No.
Poor I'm going to keep trying. Mike. I'm going to keep trying.
Thank you.
Up next, round six. Because this round, he might join us for the end of the show.
Which yeah.
Up next, it's two-year-old Emma F. This would be more appropriate for our, no doubt, upcoming Christmas episode. But nonetheless, please enjoy two-year-old Emma F. Practicing some Christmas carols.
Good. Sounded wow. Like she crashed her sleigh at the end there. I hope so.
Siobhan, did you enjoy that?
No, thank you very much. I did not. they combine two things that I really don't like. I do not enjoy children singing as a general rule. And Christmas carols give me the absolute shits. And the reason behind that is that when I was younger, I was a member of, I was quite a prestigious Australian youth choir. And every Christmas, we had to go to shopping centres and get dressed up in our choir robes and sing carols in shopping centres. And ever since that time, I have hated Christmas carols. So she gets the horns for being utterly dreadful. Doing one of the most annoying things I've ever heard.
Okay. Drew, what did you think of that one?
Well, I was impressed that someone could actually ruin Jingle Bells more than I did last year with my version. I thought I was the supreme king of ruining Jingle Bells, but no, this kid takes the cake. But the other thing I thought was a little bit creepy. Did I hear this wrong? Was she saying one horse open lay?
Because I think she had
that,
problems.
That's
saying...
really, really, really perverted. You know,
yeah.
I don't even want to know what a one horse open lay could possibly be. You know, I wish Cherry Bomb was on the show because you know she lives in, you know, the heart of Seattle, which apparently has a big horse fucking problem. Bo, do you know anything about this horse fucking problem?
That would be the Enumclaw Equestrian Incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colon ripping and guitaring. Yes.
Right. So they know all about one horse open lays up there, but apparently this girl does too. And so, you know, with all the controversy around that, you know, I'm going to give it a Bob Kimmer.
Oh.
Mom! I need money! You give me money now!
She seemed to have problems saying anything with an S, including in the beginning when she was describing dashing through the no. Which I liked. I liked it.
That's very deep. It's like fucking cough.
Shit. Sounds like something from Doctor Who. Now we must go dashing through the no.
Bone Julie, how did you feel about that?
Well, at first it was one of those cases where it's not the kid's fault, it's the mom's fault. So I was going to give it a buzzer. But then that shrill fucking voice made me turn my headphones down. So I went for the horn. And then Drew made it all horsey and perverted. So I'm back to the buzzer.
Yeah, the kid really sounded like she was into it.
Yeah.
Did I ask everyone? Have I asked Dave?
No, you have not.
Dave, did I ask you?
No.
Okay, Dave, what did you think?
Yeah, it was okay. I'll give it a ding.
For knife. well, my script says, you know what? I enjoyed that. and I did. I really did enjoy that. So while we're on the Christmas train...
That's what the horse's script says, too.
Let's stop in and see what six-year-old Emma is doing for her school's Christmas play as she indulges in a little practice in front of the camera. I'm looking forward to your school play. Siobhan, would you be looking forward to it if we were going?
No. It sounds like something that was written by one of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else recognized that song.
And think about Christmas.
Oh, you actually heard some words in there. That's nice for you.
I listened to it a lot of times.
Oh, I couldn't understand many of the words she was saying apart from Trashmas. It sounded
I
like.
I don't like to do that too.
And I think that play is going to be about Trashmas, and I hate it, and I don't want to go and see it. And I'm going to give her the horns again.
Squeaky Dave, how did you feel about that? Squeaky Dave.
Wow.
Oh.
Tell me how you really feel.
That's it, yeah.
Well, Dave.
He's fucked off. He's had enough.
Passed out again.
Wait. Oh, can you hear me now?
Dave, you're back.
Yeah. Sorry about that. It was a cacophony.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Okay.
It really made me want to check out.
I thought you had left.
No, I'm here. My technical situation is messed up.
Okay.
But, yes, I'm back, and I give it the horns.
Yay!
Baduli, how did you feel about that one?
Well, she wasn't singing. I mean, that's how six-year-olds talk. They just run around, top of their lungs.
Exactly. Andrew Buzzy, your thoughts on that one?
Well, I can't help it. It absolutely sounded like Hallie singing in the shower.
Oh wow!
Yeah, slow that down a little bit. Pitch it down. That's what I have to hear every day. I'm trying to watch my movie in the room, and then she's all happy, and then she's like talking to me. I'm like, You know, it sounds just like that. So, you know, I'm used to it. That's the price you pay to live in this paradise, you know, I live in.
Is that like a ding? Is that like talking about?
Yeah.
Is that a fucking
That's a ding. That's a ding.
That's a
Bob
Kepler? No,
it's
just a ding.
A ding.
Take requests?
Solid ding. Yeah.
We're up to our final... Emma this morning, who is just 2 years and 3 months old, and will be performing what seems to be a mix of Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Somewhere Out There in just 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
All right.
Now, before the world,
thank you for being brief.
Do you want to hear it again?
Sure. No. Okay.
What did you think, Siobhan?
Well, I was going to give it a horns because, well, it's just crap. But her one saving grace was that she was very brief.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets a buzzer for that at least.
Okay. Drew Buzzy, your thoughts on that one?
Well, I didn't hear much energy behind the performance. So, you know. And, you know, but I do like the brevity. I thought that was really nice to wrap it up real quick. So let's go with a buzzer.
Squeaky Dave.
Sure. So I'm going to give the mom a big buzzer for encouraging the child to do that. It was, if I didn't know what she was doing, I wouldn't have recognized it. Mm. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse. But I'll just give it a plain old buzzer.
And finally, Bo Dooley.
Whereas Drew did not hear any energy, I heard restraint.
Nice.
Plus, you sang better than the 6-year-old, therefore I give her a dink.
Mm.
while we work out who the winner tonight is, here's an Emma that was too good for the Talent Spectacular, singing Rainbow Connection. I really enjoyed this, and I want to hear it. It's going to melt your cold black heart.
Oh my god, I'm in love.
Thank you, Emma. That was heartbreaking.
Heart officially melted.
I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can check that out. Siobhan, please let us know who's in third place.
In third place, we had a tie for third place, actually, which was Emma number 8 with Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And Emma number 6 with her horrendous Christmas carols came in with a grand total of 5 points to tie for third place.
Good job. Second place?
Second place was Emma number 5, our favourite Polish drag queen, who came in with a grand total of 6 points for her lovely rendition of Gigi Mazinga Ding Ding. And our standout winner with a grand total of 10 points was Emma number 4, playing her gagayam, Korean instrument, and singing at the same time. And special mention for Emma number 3, who lost, came... What's got the wooden spoon? That's the word I'm trying to think of.
Bubble blowing Emma.
Wooden spooner with minus 2.
Oh, good job, bubble blowing Emma. And congratulations to all of our entrants in this episode of the Mag Down Under Talent Spectacular. If you have a talent that does or does not translate well into audio, please give us a call on 617-300-0669 or send your MP3s via electronic internet mail to me at mail@littleathletics.com. And join us once again next time as we dip our feet into the vast talent pool of Mag Nation. Let's take a quick break now with another song, and then we'll come back and wrap it up. This one is a country classic by Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty. It's called Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man. And Siobhan and I did a duet. Here we go.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi.
Mississippi men,
we get together every now and again. Mississippi rap again, keep us apart. There's too much love in Mississippi heart.
Too much love in Mississippi at a heart.
See the alligator waiting nearby. Sooner or later, no one's gonna try. Wedge your way from the bank. Oh, I know it's a goodbye, fish fry. See you while I go. With a Louisiana woman waiting on the other side. The Mississippi River looks so wide. Hey, Louisiana woman.
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. Too much love in the Mississippi heart.
Too much love in the Louisiana heart. Well, I thought I'd be in love, but I never had. So I was wrapped in the arms of a Mississippi man. When it holds me close, it feels almost like another hurricane just ripped the coast. And if he can't come to me, I'm gonna go to him. That Mississippi River, Lord, I'm gonna swim.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. Mississippi River can't keep us apart. Too much love in the Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Well, the Mississippi River runs 1 mile wide, and I'm gonna get me to the other side.
Mississippi man, I'm losing my mind. Gotta have your love just a little more time.
Gonna jump in the river and here I go. To that alligator, he's slam too slow. Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. Mississippi river can't keep us apart. Too much love in the Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Too much love in the Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Hey! Too much love in the Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
That was fun.
Thank you.
Woohoo!
It was fun.
You guys rock.
It was truly fun. Well,
it does look like we won't be getting Texas Mike on.
We tried. We tried so hard.
Try one more time.
Bye, Mike. Bye, Mike.
Texas Mike. No. Okay.
Thank you, Texas Mike.
Thanks, Texas Mike.
If Skype was a horse, he'd shot it by now.
Don't mess with Texas.
That's right.
One last ad, and then we'll wrap the show. Here's an ad for an ice cream.
You can't help falling for a gay time. Streets, new gay time. Orange chip. Orange chip, it's a pip. Tangy orange. Chocolate ice cream. Streets. Couldn't be creamier. Orange crunch. Rich chocolate. Streets. New daytime. Orange chip. Orange chip. It's a pip.
What a trip.
Gotta love a gay time.
Gotta love a gay time. Sadly, though, friends. That is all we have for this morning. We have reached the end of another episode of the Mag Down Under Variety Hour. But before we go, let me say thanks to everyone who has contributed. Every single Emma from the Talent Spectacular, all of our advertisers, and of course the world's greatest underground comedian, Justin Greenberg. Check him out on YouTube at Moive Montage Man. Thank you to Drew Buzzy. Drew is in charge of our Mag SoundCloud page. Check it out at SoundCloud.com or something, why not? Thank you also to Vote. Oh, hang on.
Vore!
Thank you to Bo Dooley. He is in charge of the Giggles for Guzzlers website. Check it out at gigglesforguzzlers.com.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you, Bo. Thank you also to Squeaky Dave. He has a band called the Little Sieges, and they are in New York. So if you're in New York and you like bands, check them out. Thank you. She's the best thing that ever happened to me, and we live together, and she makes me and other people in Warnable happy. Volare!
Yeah.
Oh.
Join us again in 2 weeks for the much postponed Movies About Girls show number 178. We'll be discussing the Molari. Whoa! When we'll be discussing the Marine Ford Masterpiece Showgirl Murders, send us an email at moviesaboutgirls@gmail.com or call us on 617-300-0669 to let us know what you think about it. Check out our internet website at moviesaboutgirls.com and send our message forum at Molari. Our message book forum at killerreviews.com, and don't forget to check out all the hype, gossip, and mythos at magpediarocksballs.com. And one thing I do really want to ask each and every person listening is, why not give us a review on iTunes? As Ken has noted on the last five, at least, Movies About Girls shows, Victor Aurelius is beating us in the listener stakes, and the best way to help people find the show is to give us a review on iTunes. So it would be super appreciated if you can do that.
Yeah. Okay. And if you haven't licked us on Facebook, lick our Facebook page.
Yeah. Mm. Lick it.
Yeah.
Lick it real good.
Our goodbye song for this morning is a song called Today by Pat Carroll and Olivia Newton-John from the TV show Bandstand in 1967. It's not the Pat Carroll who did the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid. It's a different one.
Thanks.
Yes, that's what we're thinking.
Good one.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It has been a real blast. Glad we could fill in. Maybe we'll do it again soon. Hopefully.
Let's
do it again soon. thanks, guys. Have a great night. Drew, good luck at work.
Thanks. Yeah, have a great day, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Drew.
You too, Drew.
Yeah, and everybody else, yes.
So to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us here on the Mag Down Under Variety Hour, and we'll see you again next time. Happy good morning, everyone.
Happy good morning.
Happy good morning.
Happy good morning.